For federal contractors, trying to get a bead on future federal procurement policy is like peering into fog. The House Armed Services Committee has flip-flopped on a couple of issues, and the Defense Department seems to disagree with the White House. Joining me with more on the insanity, Alan Chivatkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. Alan, good to have you back.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
So you're seeing lots of mixed signals, starting with the House version of the Defense Authorization Bill. What are some of the issues?
Last week, the House passed the Defense Authorization Bill for fiscal year 18, and there's some interesting juxtapositions identified in that bill. For example, there's been a lot of concern about the backlog of audits for incurred costs that contractors are required to submit. And these audits are generally performed by the Defense Contract Audit Agency. And so Mr. Thornberry, the chairman of the committee, had a recommendation to streamline that process and to allow third parties, outside auditors, to come in and support the DCAA to help reduce that backlog. At the same time, that provision, as it's gone through the process over on the House side, has been watered down a little bit. And in the statement of administration policy on the NDAA, the administration strongly opposed that third party, relying on third parties. It was kind of an interesting change because the DOD has expressed the same concerns about the delays in getting those audits done in a timely manner. There's also some inconsistencies related to the treatment of commercial items. On the one hand, there's a great effort to, for example, to establish an e-commerce provision to allow the federal government to go to the private marketplace and follow on some of the commercial methodologies, yet there are other provisions in the bill that add to the regulatory environment. And finally, on the Senate side, in their reported version of the NDAA that was released last week, just 3 months ago, Congress overrode the prior regulations on the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces regulation, nullified that executive branch regulation. But there's a provision in the Senate Armed Services Committee bill that would reinstate what I call the Fair Pay Light requirement that require the Department of Defense to evaluate contractor responsibility in terms of their compliance with labor laws. That would, some very mixed messages coming from the Congress and the administration.
Getting back to the question of third-party auditors for recovered costs by contractors, I think one of the provisions had contractors allowed to choose their own auditor, and some of the good government groups objected to that part of it. Could that be what helped kill it?
Well, contractors that retain third-party auditors would be required to follow the same rules that the government would follow if they were doing that work. And we see this example in lots of other places. Companies that are publicly traded that are under the jurisdiction of the Securities and Exchange Commission always are audited by the independent accounting firms, and they have to follow the SEC rules. In fact, many of the civilian agencies use third-party auditors to help support their audit activity because they don't have a defense contract audit agency analogy. Many folks acknowledge that it is a very common in government to rely on third-party auditors, and they follow the government rules, and the government has that oversight and management responsibility. So it's not a complete hands-off responsibility either.
And with respect to the commercial items and the e-commerce marketplaces, I think the original provision as coming out of Mac Thornberry's committee was, in fact, I mean, it's kind of an open secret now in Washington, was written by someone who works for Amazon that used to be in the Obama administration. And so a lot of the, not so much the professional services firms that you represent objected, but I think in that case it came from the resellers and distributors that felt that they would be locked out by letting Amazon do it all. So maybe that's the issue on that one?
Yes, there are other analogies already in existence in the federal marketplace. GSA manages something called the Fed Mall, which is a very similar, it's a government unique, it's not a commercial analogy, not a commercial marketplace, but very similar. And Mr. Thornberry's bill, and now it's passed the House of Representatives, would limit the utilization of these third parties. First of all, it's to permit multiple vendors to be participating, and it would be limited to the more standard of commodities that the federal government buys. Very explicit limitations on what can be purchased through that e-commerce site. It's an interesting initiative. We've raised some questions from the Professional Services Council about how that would be executed, but it's worth a lot more attention to it, and I'm very pleased to see it included in the bill.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council, and on the fair pay and safe workplaces idea that, as you say, was overridden by the Trump administration, and now it's in that bill. I mean, this is Congress, so it seems as if, I'm just guessing here, there's a political play at stake here by perhaps Democrats on that committee trying to get what was out the door on one end, in the back door, through this provision.
That's our concern. The Congressional Review Act allows Congress to disapprove of a regulation of the executive branch, and they did that. President Trump signed that nullification statute. And now we're actually waiting for the rules for our council and others to actually clear away the regulations caught up in the regulatory freeze and some of the other administration initiatives. But there's no limitation on Congress reenacting a requirement. And I think that's what this is an element, an effort by some members to do. It's got a long way to go in the legislative process, and we're going to be out there exploring the provisions and seeing how we can address it.
Well, that's my question. I think you've started to answer it, because there still has to be a reconciliation yet between the House and Senate versions. So there's still some opportunity to get things the way at least your group would like to see them.
That's right. There's still a long way to go in the legislative process. There's no comparable provision in the House passed bill. And so we'll be working with the members of Congress to identify and highlight some of the considerations and concerns, the deep concerns that we have with that Senate provision.
And what's your take, while we have you, too, on the civilian side of things? It's becoming more and more of an issue, I think, among contractors, that there is still no administrator for GSA. There's someone who's been rumored for 4 months. And also, there is no one at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, which really has a lot to say about many of these issues.
I share that view. We are concerned about it. We've expressed that publicly to the administration, joined in communications urging the president and the presidential personnel to identify and recommend someone. I know that there are ongoing discussions within the executive branch about suitable candidates, but it is a little concerning that we've gone so long in the administration without recommendations for some of those senior positions. But this is true in other areas within the executive branch as well. So I have a lot of confidence in the staff that are there today. Tim Horn is the acting GSA administrator. Leslie Field, the acting OFPP administrator. They're outstanding individuals. They're well-suited for continuity purposes. But they, absent a presidentially nominated and Senate-confirmed position, some of the executive branch initiatives and even congressional initiatives are going to be slow to take off.
Alan Chavotkin is Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find more and find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.